From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Ledson. Today we're bringing you a special Pledge Drive episode. And the story you're about to hear is from a show that is near and dear to my heart, because it's all about comic books. You see, my friend, I am, and always will be, a comic book nerd. I mean, that's why my spidey sense started tingling when I heard about Comicsgate. If you haven't heard of it, Comicsgate is a campaign against anything that smacks of diversity in comic books. It could be gay characters, people of color, women, basically anything they don't agree with. They'll boycott comics and launch vicious online attacks against the comic book writers and illustrators. If you've never been a target of a trolling campaign, it may be hard to understand how it feels. It starts with one tweet or a comment, and even if you don't know these people, you feel it. Then others join in, and you get this steady stream of hate. Your phone buzzes or chirps every few minutes. They misrepresent your work, your life, the things you love, and it feels like the whole world is joining in. And then come the threats. It's a cloud that can wrap itself around you, and you feel like there's no way out. For some of the women targeted by Comicsgate, it got so bad, they wouldn't go on the record with us. One woman told me she received death threats and rape threats. She was worried about even talking about it, that it could lead to a whole new cycle of harassment. So what's the comic industry doing to stand up to this hate? To find out, I met this woman.
Sana Amanath, and I'm VP of Content and Character Development at Marvel.
We sat down together at Marvel headquarters in New York City. Sana has also been a target for haters. Before she was a VP at Marvel, she co-created Ms. Marvel, not the blonde-haired Captain Marvel who's getting her own movie, but an American Muslim superhero by the name of Kamala Khan.
She came really out of conversations about my childhood and the idea that we needed a character for the young Sanas of the world, as my old boss Stephen Wacker said. But the bigger idea was about creating a character who was, yes, Muslim, yes, South Asian, yes, of course, a girl, woman, or teenager, but really someone who was relatable and that any fan would fall in love with.
I was surprised at how well the book did.
Us too, trust me.
Yeah, tell me about that. I mean, how did it happen?
When we first announced Ms. Marvel, huge flurry of press came about it. It was the top trending topic on the internet. And people, I think, actually showed up. They showed up in comic shops. They understood what it meant for this to be successful. Not only to have this kind of hero out there, but specifically to have Marvel carrying this character within their entire pantheon of superheroes.
Marvel also launched a female Thor, a Korean-American Hulk, and a Black Captain America.
That's what's really exciting about telling different kinds of stories, is about the fact that you can go and decide one day that someone else is going to be Captain America. What does that look like? What does that ideal of Captain America represent? And what happens when you take someone else, like an African-American man, and give him that mantle?
What have been some of the challenges with evolving the line?
I think the only real challenge is just making sure that people are open to our newer characters.
I'm curious as to why do you think there aren't more women and headliners of color that are prominent from in this 80-year history? Like, we're just now starting to introduce these characters.
You know, you're talking about the 40s and 50s and 60s, where white men controlled everything. And so the natural predilection for men creating everything is creating content for themselves. And so the focus was specifically on a lot of white male heroes. I think after the movies came out in the last 10 years, and I want to give credit to the studios, it's become this really big global mainstream phenomenon. People always knew who Peter Parker was. People always knew, you know, the cartoons existed. So Marvel was really, you know, at the, you know, the back of people's minds. But the movies allowed the Marvel brand and the Marvel roster of characters to literally go global. And because of that, because audiences were opened up, we were able to interact with them in a bigger way and take more risks. And also at the same time, while we're creating all of these sort of newer characters or experimenting with sort of the wider female roster of heroes that we've been able to do in the last 10 years, we knew that more people were waking up to seeing themselves in our comics, and also realizing, oh, wait, if that's for me, too, if I can see myself in a comic, maybe I can actually be a part of the creative process.
When we bring up these great names of women working at Marvel Comics and doing all this great work, you know, you gotta, like, reflect on the trolls that are trying to pull them down. And there's a lot. I mean, they have a hashtag, right? Comicsgate.
Sure.
And so they're attacking that. I think that, like, some of the critiques that I've heard from creators say that Marvel kind of stays on the sideline of this instead of, like, engaging and actually taking these people on.
So the way that I look at it is, I am a Muslim American woman who is a vice president at one of the biggest entertainment companies in the world and have been able to make a lot of big strides. That's how I take them on, because I'm here and they're there and they can be as upset as they want. But we're not trying to take away anything from them.
I'm speaking specifically, though, about more about the victims than them. And if they're working for Marvel or for one of the big two, and those companies are kind of silent on the treatment that they're getting, they feel kind of left out to sea with nobody to help them.
Well, I don't know if that's true, because a lot of the way that we deal with that kind of, those kinds of situation, and I'm not HR, is specifically internal. Like, I have had conversations with the women who've, you know, been victims of this. I'm a victim of it. I've been dealing with it since I joined Marvel. I think it's really more about making sure that we create a safe space for them to be able to feel like they can talk about the issues that they have. We're not trying to further their sort of public face on this, because I think it's important that they have privacy and that their name isn't smeared and continued to be smeared. Because the more that we repeat it, the more that people will pay more attention and have a bigger target on their backs. And we want to make sure that they're safe.
It's one of the things that I've learned in working on this story is that it's difficult to get a lot of women creators on record because they don't want the harassment to start again.
So in terms of how the industry responded, we knew that the best way for Marvel to respond to something like this was having the legacy of Marvel, Stan Lee, actually say something, and he did.
Hi, heroes. This is Stan Lee coming at you. Want you to know, Marvel has always been and always will be a reflection of the world right outside our window.
If you don't know who Stan Lee is, well, he's an icon, a co-creator of many of the superheroes you know and love. He also has a cameo in every Marvel movie.
His soapboxes, his letters columns were all about the concept of equality and being good to one another and caring for one another and the importance of these values and inserting those in our heroes.
That world may change and evolve, but the one thing that will never change is the way we tell our stories of heroism. Those stories have room for everyone, regardless of their race, gender, religion, or color of their skin.
He realized the importance of responding to it, and we had a really great video of him trying to encourage our fans to be positive and to stop saying hateful things.
The only things we don't have room for are hatred, intolerance, and bigotry.
Now social media has given everybody a voice.
Yes.
Is that where we are? I mean, do we just have to, like, keep riding these tides?
I don't have the answer to that. I think it's too big of a question to say, how do we deal with anonymous hate? You know, that's a question, I think, for the times. And I think social media has shed a very strange light on it because, yes, you have handles and you have little pictures of people, but you don't know who they actually are. And it's a little scary. Like, I'm at a point now where I'm like, oh, what's going to be sent in the mail to me? Like, who knows who's going to be coming at me at a comics convention? And we have to be very, very mindful of that.
Critics of the diversification of the line would say that Marvel financially took a hit when it started diversifying.
I say rats to that. That's not true at all. It's like the 50s version of cursing, right? So right. That's okay. Rats to that. No, I don't think that's true at all. I think that yes, some books succeed, some books fail, and if that happens, it has nothing to do with the fact that it's a brown character. It has to do with the fact that we have to make sure that, you know, one, our audiences get excited about the stories, and we know that these characters can have a further impact because we are telling our audiences, our readers, that look, there is every kind of hero out there. You are reflected in our pantheon of heroes.
That's Sana Amananth, Vice President of Content and Character Development at Marvel. She also told me the company hasn't let up with expanding their superhero universe with new characters that reflect the diversity of America. We also reached out to DC Comics, but they declined to talk to us for this show. In the years I've been working as a journalist, I have never encountered a story like this, where so many people refuse to talk on record because they're scared that it would just stir the trolls up and harassment would start all over. Their reaction tells me everything about the world we live in today. We are swift to anger and slow to listen. And when that rage is focused in the wrong direction, people get hurt. I think it's a beautiful thing to be passionate about a character or story, and it's totally appropriate to disagree with a writer or artist's take. That's one thing. But when you attack a person because of who they are, you're no fan, you're a troll. No one should be scared for doing their job. The companies that publish the books, the platforms that promote them, and the fans who love them have to learn to wield the power they hold the same way as the heroes in their favorite books. So today, I'm giving you a chance to be a hero. You can keep great journalism alive by supporting this public radio station, because with great power comes, well, you know the rest. Here's how.